Blog Talk Radio.
To the program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat room where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may email your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments at area code 567-259-6043. Like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/basic-instructions-before-leaving-earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions. As I welcome all of you to this episode tonight, I am excited because tonight we will be continuing the study from the book of Genesis. This study will provide a patriarchal look at the women and men involved in its telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of time or eras: the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, have your Bibles open and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 15 minutes, we will pause for questions and answers. Now, before we get started, I want to again personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. Okay. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's Mark chapter 5, verse 6. This particular promise tells us if you want to increase your faith, then you must be hungry and thirst to righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Again, the question is, are you standing on God's promises? Now to the study. We are going to be taking this look from the Bible text, Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. And this is the question that we should keep in mind and focus on, because this is the intent of the lesson. The question is, or the instruction, is the Egyptian captivity shown to Abrams? Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 through 16, this is what the Bible says. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, meaning God, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So God showed Abraham in advance, in a premonition, or a vision, in a dream, that Egypt was going to hold his family in captivity. Now let's go to our complement, which is going to be in the New Testament. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through 8, and then verse 8 or 11 through 14, and verse 36. And this is the, again, the complement of what the instruction showed Abrams in the Old Testament, and what the instruction is showing us today, my brothers and sisters, in the New Testament. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, they shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass before the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are just the beginning of sorrows, my brothers and sisters. Then we go to 11 verse 14, and this is what Jesus continues to tell us. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And then 36 concludes, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And this is what is so significant for us to realize, that when Jesus ascended into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God, God gave him the prophecy of the book of Revelations that we've already gone through. And he sent his angel to tell us, his servants, about this. So this in Matthew gives us a prelude to what we know that our captivity is and when it will end. All right. Now we'll go to the next instruction, and if you have any comments, please, if you're in the chat room, get them to me. Anyway, the text that we're going to is, again, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, or chapter 16, verse 2 and 10 through 12, and this is the instruction we're looking at. Ishmael, firstborn of Abrams. Now, this is critical, my brothers and sisters, because at that time in life, the firstborn received all of the benefits of the heritage. This is what Genesis chapter 16, verse 2 and verse 10 through 12 tells us about this firstborn. It says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? Now, go to verse 10 through 12. Hopefully, you have your Bibles with you. Open them up. Read along with me, please. It says in verse 10, "And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece against another." I am reading from verse 15 instead of verse 16. I retract all of what I just told you, my good brothers and sisters. Listen again, please. The instruction is Ishmael, firstborn of Abram, and it's Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, and it says, "And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to her voice." So this is what occurred. And now verse 10 through 12 concludes. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." And this is what happened when Abram received the maid of Sarai, which was Hagar. Now we're going to go to the compliment and see further how this is going to affect us. And it's going to be back to the present.
Said, "Lord, please tell me what you're doing." And God said, "No, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it." If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
Just remember, you can email us your questions or comments at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can text us with your questions or comments at 567-259-6043. Now here's Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, let's continue on with the lesson. Now remember, Ishmael was the firstborn of Abram, and Genesis chapter 16, verse 2 and verse 10 through 12 gave us the understanding of what happened there. And now let's go to the compliment in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. And this tells us about the firstborn for us today. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." So that tells us that Jesus the Christ is our firstborn for today. We're going to go next to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to the text, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And then we're going to read what it says. The instruction is the covenant with Abraham. Now, this is when Abram's turn to Abraham. Okay, Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed exceedingly. And Abrams fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abrams, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Okay, so we can see now what God has done in this covenant. He has caused Abrams to become the father of many nations, and his name has been changed. Now what we're going to do again is we're going to see what the complement has to say about that for us today. We're going to go back to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 8 through 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 13. Now, this is critical, my brothers and sisters, because this is the way Paul starts off. He says, Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So what we are realizing that even though the firstborn in the Old Testament had the rights, God is in control of what will be. And in the New Testament, that firstborn, if you will, or the secondborn, as Paul refers to Jesus Christ and Adam, is the one that we are to follow. Now, verse 9 through 13 continues, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. In him also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made not with hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with him, having forgiveness you are of your trespasses. So that tells us that this is our covenant today. And it's only through Jesus Christ do we receive the benefits of that covenant. All right. Let's now go to the next instruction, back to the Old Testament. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 through 33. And this is the focus of the text. We want to concentrate on this instruction. How many will God save? That is what we are concerned with in this reading of Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 through 33. And this is what the Bible says. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Remember, how many will God save? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee. Do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's what Abraham was telling God. And God said, and the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for the righteous sake. And Abram answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, Lord, which I am but dust and ashes, but peradventure there shall be 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, meaning God, If I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. So we know that God has, concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, went all the way down to 10, that if they were righteous, he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sins that they committed there. Now, let us go to our complement, the New Testament, and see what the Bible tells us about today. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2, verse 17, and this is what is identified for us today. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, and it says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." So how many will God save? He will save all sinners who have repented. That is the key to the instruction that we're receiving right now. And I'm thinking that we are right now due for a break, but if it hasn't, well, what I'll do is continue until I hear the break music. So what we'll do is go on to the next question, the next instruction. Now we're going to again go back to Genesis, and we're going to be looking at the text, Genesis 19, verse 13, verse 24, and verse 25. And this is the instruction. From reading the text, we want to look at this instruction, the saga of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboiim. Now, the reason I added those extra cities there is because the text in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23, adds those two cities in the saga. So it's a story. So we're going to see actually what the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 13, about Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it." Now, verse 24 says to continue, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." And verse 25 concludes and says, "And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." So we can see from the how many will be saved that there was less than 10. So God destroyed all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's see what the book of the New Testament complement tells us about what is going to happen to us today. Since we're in the New Testament time, we're going to go to Revelations chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. And this is what it says. It says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, interpreted as the world, the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Listen, my brothers and sisters, verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice say from heaven, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Now, some theologians identify this as what is considered the rapture and being left behind. This verse 4, again, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not any of her plagues." And verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded us, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled with her double." And so that is telling us the saga of the world as we know it today, aside from Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, we're going to go to the next instruction. If you have any questions, if you're in the chat room, please get them to me. And here we go. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 19, verse 14 through 17. And we're going to focus on this instruction. When the end comes, do not linger, or you will be lost. That's the instruction we want to focus on. And this is what the book of Genesis tells us about when the end comes. Do not linger, or you will be lost. Genesis chapter 19, verse 14 through 17 says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him out forth and set him upon outside the city. And verse 17 says, And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, except to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And in verse 26, it concludes, it says, But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So when the end comes, do not linger, or you will be lost. That is what happened to Lot's wife in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And not mine, and Zebobium. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament complement and see what God has instructed us today that we should be wary of. In that instance, when the end comes, do not linger or look back. We're going to go to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to be reading verses 14 through 23. Mark chapter 13. And we're going to be reading verse 14 through 23. And this is what it says. It says, But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the mountaintop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field turn not back again for to take his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as were not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he had chosen, he had shortened these days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, here he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. So when the end comes, do not linger, or you will be lost. This is what we have been told by Jesus today, that there will be many who will tell us that the end is near, the end is tomorrow. But don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to what Jesus is telling us in the sign. And that sign, again, is from Mark chapter 13, verse 14 through 23, and, of course, the rest of the chapter. We are going to go to a break.
When I was at the University of Florida for every home game, We would get in the bus at our hotel, and we would drive right by the stadium, and we would stop at what's called the Gator Walk. In every game I played there, there was probably 20 to 40,000 fans at this Gator Walk, ready to greet us as we get off the bus. I would see all these people. I gotta tell you, there were a lot of voices that started to hit me. One of the first voices that instantly hit me was pride and arrogance, because I would look out and I would see thousands of jerseys with my number on it. I would look out and I would see Bible verses that they were wearing because I wore them. And so for a second you thought, dang, I'm something. They're here for me. This is pretty cool. I must be somebody. There's a picture that I stumbled across. And it's one of Time's 100 most influential images of all time. And it's a picture of this young girl. She's on her way from her village to a feeding center not far away. And she's so malnourished and she's moving so slow that this vulture is waiting to attack. So the young man that took this picture, I think there was probably something in his heart that he wanted to do good. He wasn't sure. So he captured this picture and he just waited, and then the vulture got closer. So he kind of shooed the vulture off and then he walked away and the vulture would come right back. And he was told, because of some of the sicknesses in the areas, don't touch anybody, don't do anything. And so he didn't. He didn't. He did nothing. Because apparently the cost was too much. So he left. He went back. The New York Times published this photo in 1993. In 94, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo. 4 months after this, he chose to end his life. You see, every single one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. And you know what? I hope you are. I really do. I hope you're successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But success is just about you. But significance is about other people. You see, that man that took that picture, he had success. That's one of the greatest honors a photographer could ever have. But obviously it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what's going to be enough for you? You see, success is great. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's not going to be fulfilling. And you can never forget that sense of urgency, that it's not about your timeline, it's about their timeline. While you might have 30, 40, 50 years, they have days, minutes, moments. She had moments, but it wasn't worth it to go pick her up. It wasn't worth it to give her a hug. It wasn't worth it to tell her about the gospel. Yeah, I won a Pulitzer Prize, but what does it matter? What does it matter? It doesn't. And I think the greatest tragedy in life is we're going to look back one day and say, I was successful in things that don't matter. I want you to be successful, but more than anything, I want you to be significant. And when you live for Jesus, and you love people, I believe you're going to have a life of significance.
Peter, there is a question, one question. How was Abram and Lot's behavior differently?
Okay, good question. And the reason that God did what he did, Abram's God had chosen to be the father of many nations. He did not choose Lot. Lot happened to be the nephew of Abram's from his brother Hebron. And that's how Lot came into the picture. And when we get further into Genesis, you will see what happened to Lot's lineage, his heritage, because of disobedience. Anyway, that's the difference between the two. Lot was not chosen by God to be the father of nations. He was chosen to be in the part of what the Sodom and Gomorrah story gave us. Now, I know I gave you a lot of information there. Hopefully, I answered your question with all of what I gave you, but that's the difference between the two. Lot was not chosen. God chose Abram or Abraham. You said that was the only one, Chris?
Yes, continue with our study.
All right, here we go. All right. Now, staying in accordance with my mission statement, that everyone be exposed to salvation, my very good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, that being said, we are going to rehearse again some of the highlights for you of our program's description and format. Now, basic instruction before leaving Earth, the Bible, includes the entire review of the 66 books of the canon according to Protestant authority. And there are many other good versions. The stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical aspect, because Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That's the reason for the focus on the spiritual. Drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ, I think, are critical. Using both the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. If one does not correlate to the other, then there is something lacking in the translation and the interpretation. The use of the scripture to validate opinions. And of course, our mission statement, this is for everybody. All right, back to the study. The next chapter we're going to look at in the book of Genesis is chapter 19, verse 30 through 38. Chapter 19, verse 30 through 38. And this is, and I'm so glad this is coming up now after the question, because this is going to tell you, listener who asked the question, more about Lot and his disobedience and how God treated him opposed or compared to Abraham. The instruction is a look at incest. And now I also will add that the Ten Commandments, if you will, the law of Moses, had not been established in the book of Genesis. It was established in the book of Exodus forward. So right now, incest is not looked at as it is looked at after the law of Moses was established. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 30 through 38. And this is what it says about incest. And this is what we're looking at. This is the story behind it. A look at incest. The Bible says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. If you have your Bibles, please read along with me. Verse 31, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lay with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That's the incest. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And we know, as we will read further on into our lessons in other books of the Bible, that the Moabites were destroyed by God through Israel, and also the Ammonites were destroyed by God through Israel. Okay, so that again is telling of a disobedience that occurred. All right, now what we're going to do is go to the complement New Testament and see what the book of Matthew says about the same in verse 14 or chapter 14, verse 1 through 11. And this is it's correlated. This is what happened when disobedience occurs. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1 through 11 says, At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, head of the heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. That's where the incest comes in. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake and for them that sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John the Baptist in prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. So that is tied in with the incest as identified in the law of Moses. And what I didn't give you, if you would like to write this down, Deuteronomy chapter 27 gives us the list of curses that came from the result of God giving the law to Israel on Mount Sinai. And one of those curses was that thou shalt not have relationships, sexual relationships, with your daughter or your mother-in-law or such as identified in the Deuteronomy chapter 27 chapter. So that is the tie-in for the look of incest. Now we'll go to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 20, and this is what the instruction tells us the text is going to address: the plight we face in a foreign land. Now, let us understand, my brothers and sisters, that we, the world is not our home. As the song says, we're just abiding by. But we know that our home is in heaven. So this is a look at what happened in the Old Testament to Abraham. The instruction says, the plight we face in a foreign land. So chapter 20 starts off this way. It says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.' But Abimelech had not come near her and said to the Lord, 'Wilt thou slay also a righteous man? Say he not unto me, She is my sister, and she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this.'" So again, what is being said, and I'll let you read the rest of the chapter, it is being said that Abraham and Sarah were in a foreign land, what's not their own, and they were afraid of the things that were going on around them. So in order to protect themselves, they did lie. Now this, we're going to go into John. We're going to go to the complement of the New Testament and see exactly what today is like. And we'll continue after the break.
Whenever God says he's going to give you power, get ready for pain. Pain is what God gives with power to keep you from arrogance. You will never become intoxicated by the power he has allocated because you have to deal with the distraction of the pain that is dispensed with the power. He told me, "You're going to reign." And he said, "Oh, I had a dream." And he comes telling all his brother his great big old powerful dream. And they hated him. And they said, "Because of your purpose, we have despised you." And they snatched him and they put him in a pit. They threw him in a pit, took his coat of many colors, dipped the coat in blood. They lied on him, told his father he was dead. If you think people won't lie on you, you know the old saying that there's always a little truth in every lie? That's not true. Joseph wasn't even sick. He didn't even have a cold. They said he was dead. Some lies have no foundation at all. And all of a sudden, through something that he had nothing to do with, the middle part of his life, the biggest part of his life, was consumed by a lie. And he finds himself down in a pit, half naked, no food, no water, vulnerable, and at the mercy of life, probably expecting to die in a hole like an animal, waiting to get out. And whenever you go through something that takes you down, there's always somebody there to say, "What did you do to bring this on yourself?" When injustices occur, we always look for logic. We are such rational people. We try to reason. How did this happen? Why are you leaving me? I was good to you. Why do you treat me like that? I've been good to you. Why are you cheating on me? I've been good to you. Why? We look for logic to life. If you look for logic, you're going to go crazy. Because life acts like it drank a fifth of Gordon's gin. You get a good fifth in you, you might say anything. It doesn't even make any sense. You ever seen an old drunk go to crying? They don't even know what they was laughing a minute ago. And then, "My mama died." And you think she just died 30 years ago, mama. life is just that erratic. It's just crazy. And some of your life, you've gone through stuff that it just seemed like a madman designed your life. Stuff that wasn't fair, it wasn't right. You knew your intentions were good, your purpose was good. I mean, the injustice of it all. It'd be different if you were reaping what you sowed. But some of this stuff you reap, you know for a fact you didn't sow this. Now, I might have done something, but I know good well I have never treated anybody like you treat me. Joseph said, well, I might have got an extra cupcake or something, but I never threw none of y'all in the pit, and so I'm not reaping anything, and here I am, I'm scraped, I'm bruised, I'm scarred, I'm hungry, I got to go to the bathroom, I'm locked up in a pit, I can't get out, I never did anything to deserve to be in the place that I'm at, and look at me.
Here is Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, as we were continuing with the plight we face in a foreign country, that's the instruction. We have seen what happened with Abraham and Sarah. Now, today, this is what Jesus has done for us. He has said in a prayer, we're going to go to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 17, verse 11 through 16. And this is how we're covered while we're in this foreign land. We're soul journey, if you will. John chapter 17, verse 11 through 16. This is what Jesus asked the Father to protect us against. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, which was Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled, that he was to betray Christ. Verse 13 says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. And remember, Jesus told us that he has given us these instructions so that he, while we're suffering tribulation in this world, we should still be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. Now, verse 14 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That is so significant for us to understand, that what we are receiving, and that's one reason I do drills and exercises on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ, because if we adhere to them, we are going to not be overcome. We will be confronted. For David said in the Psalms that the tribulations of a righteous man availeth much, but God will deliver him out of them all. So we know that we're going to be confronted, but we won't be overcome. So that tells us that the plight that we face in this land, if we listen to the instructions of Jesus Christ through his grace, we will receive what the Holy Ghost says, if nothing else, long-suffering to endure and get through whatever it is confronting us. All right, this is going to conclude this evening's lesson. It was a long one, and what I'd like to do is, before we sign off, is to recap for you what was given. And again, hopefully you wrote down those what standing on the promises of Jesus Christ will give you, the blessed bees, as I call them, in Matthew chapter 5 through 8 we read tonight. And we also looked at the instruction, the Egyptian captivity shown to Abrams, and that was taken from Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. And its complement was Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through 8, verse 11 through 14, and verse 36. I hope you're writing this down. if you don't have it already marked in your Bible, the next instruction was about Ishmael, firstborn of Abrams. And remember, we talked about that in Genesis chapter 16, verse 2 and verse 10 through 12. And the complement we used was from Colossians, verse 1, verse 12 through 15. And it told about Ishmael, even though he was the firstborn. Of course, we know Isaac was the one that the lineage from Abraham came through. And we'll get more into that in our next meeting when we go through that part in our Bible. And then the covenant of Abraham was Genesis chapter 17. We looked at how many will God save. Very significant. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 18, it was the saga of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we looked at also in one of the other instructions, which was in Genesis chapter 19. We looked at when the end comes, do not linger or you will be lost. And that was, again, taken out of Genesis chapter 19. And the complement was Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 13, verse 14 through 23. We took a look at incest as an instruction, and it was explained. Again, we were in Genesis chapter 19. And we've completed with the plight we face in a foreign land, and that instruction was telling us where we stand here, right now where we are. And the complement in John chapter 17 gave us the understanding of what Jesus asked God to keep us from because of being, you know, in a foreign land. All right, so now, before the hour ends, I'll give you a preview of what's to come. Next week, we're going to be looking at the exploits of Abraham. And it's going to, we will be looking at the saga of Abraham, the many stories continuing. That's what we'll be looking at. And the many ventures and the adventures that he was exposed to in his lifetime, and give a one-by-one account of what Abraham experienced during this part of his life. He being our founding father, it is so significant to look and see exactly what he has meant for us, not as the nation of Israel, not as the nation of Islam. The reason I bring the nation of Islam up is because Ishmael, the Muslims identify their lineage from Ishmael, who was also, again, we read, the first begotten of Abraham. But that is not the way God chose to have his seed increase. His seed increased through Isaac. And so through Isaac, then Jacob. And so we'll be looking at various stories and episodes in the book of Genesis telling us that. What does Abraham teach, in fact? And a biblical comment on physical and spiritual burial. We'll be looking at the story of Isaac and Rebekah. We'll be looking at Abraham, the father of more nations. We'll be looking at, we'll take another look at Ishmael. And we'll be looking at Esau and Jacob at odds with each other. Those are going to be the studies that we're going to be into the next time we meet. So it was really good to have you viewing in with me today. If you have any questions and answers as or comments, as now we will conclude.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.